This topic has been on my heart for a while. It's one of my favorite topics to speak on, yet it's somewhat challenging to live out in life. And I find it can be confusing of what is expected or what does that look like day to day. It sounds good in theory, but what does it look like practically? So what I'm praying, what I'm hoping is that as we talk about this, that a certain dimension, a certain area of Christianity, of following the Lord, I like the term followers of Christ more than Christianity, because Christianity can be just a religion and there's nothing associated with Christ, or very minimal, if anything, just called Christian. But if I'm a follower of Christ, then I'm going somewhere. If I want to hang out with Eugene and he says, hey, let's go to this restaurant, I say, hey, which restaurant are we going? He says, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to follow you. And I'm following wherever he goes, I'm following. It's a follower. So I'm a follower of Christ. Whenever God leads, and he leads each one of us individually. There's a journey, there's a plan that he has for each one of us. And just to think that if you are here, there was a plan, there was a meeting in heaven for you to bring forth unto this earth. And it's so easy for us to get lost in humanity and say, I'm just one of many, without realizing that I am intentionally designed with a personality at this time for a specific purpose. So what I want to do is I want to help you live out this journey to the best of your ability, to the full capacity which God has created you. And we're going to talk a little bit about faith. So Beyond Logic is a series on faith. I can see and you can see. I can touch, I can move my arms, right? I have a body, so I have all these senses. I can hear. Faith doesn't kind of fall into this category. It's almost this different dimension that exists, that without it, we just become just like any person that is an unbeliever. So if you take a believer and an unbeliever, a non-believer can see what you see. They can see a business idea. They can put it into fruition. They make it happen. They can touch also. They have marriages. They have children. They also leave legacies. And all the other things that non-believers as people, as a humanity, as a person, they can do all those things. So if we follow the Lord only with our senses, if we follow the Lord only with the reason and with what we think, we're going to be always caught short. If you look at the New Testament, you will see that Jesus always rebuked unbelievers and he praised believers. He rebuked unbelievers, those who haven't believed, and he praised those who believed. So I don't know why this happens. It's one of those things that I'm fascinated with, is I see some people who are more prone to faith than others. So if they believe God for greater things, and they just have this capacity of faith. They are moved by faith. They walk in faith. And then there are others where you have to train, you have to explain, you have to show, you have to taste for them just to open their heart just a little bit, to have enough faith to invite Jesus Christ into their life to be saved, to receive him as their Savior. So this first part that I title Igniting the Word with Faith. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the Word and the application of faith and how they are different without it in our life. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then the voice translation says it really nice. It says, faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. Absolute conviction of the realities that you have not seen. And I'm talking about realities in your life. I'm not talking about UFOs. I'm not talking about kind of these dimensions. I'm talking realities that happen in your life. People who walk by faith, people who operate in faith, those who practice faith, they give birth to something that is visible. So if you believe and you pray and you intercede for a spouse, When you're standing at the altar and you're getting married and you have a spouse next to you that you prayed for, you have evidence of what you have believed for. When you're praying for illness and that God would give you health, and you pray for and you receive it, the birth of faith comes a healing. And now you have evidence that what you believed for, what you hoped for, it's a reality that came to be that never existed before. So when we practice faith, when we exercise faith, it gives birth to something. It brings us into something that we haven't experienced before. In this first part, I'm going to give you a few metaphors to help us understand kind of how faith operates. And a lot of times when we think about faith, to me, it becomes overwhelming. And the Lord says that we should have faith. And we can't please God without faith. So I want to please God. I want to have relationship with Him. In fact, I came across videos where kind of this couple is married. And the guy is Italian and she's an American. And he pronounces all these different words wrong. And kind of they just make it really funny videos out of it. So I feel like when we want to talk to the Lord, when we want to connect with Him, the language that He speaks is faith. If you speak logic to Him, He doesn't understand it as much. When you speak faith to Him, a language of faith, it pleases Him. He understands it. He operates out of it. And He meets you in that place when you believe. So when we look at metaphors, let me give you a few of them. Hopefully one of them you can relate. One of the metaphors that the Word of God uses is weapons. When we talk about weapons, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh in our bodies, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." This is what preaching is about. This is what, when we study the Word, this is when we understand principles of our God, we wage war. We wage war against principalities, against strongholds. So when you think of weapons, and any kind of weapons, so think about tanks, any artillery, any warships, any guns, any semi-automatic, just knives and all this together that you think about it. Weapon by themselves, if I told you, hey, I have a warehouse of weapons, tanks and all kinds of weapons that you can think of, latest that's on the market. And sometimes countries, what they do is they parade their weapons. They parade the power that they have, either it's Air Force power or just any kind of military power. They show it as an example to scare off maybe other countries or to say, hey, intimidate them that we are powerful. But what I want to use to you is a kind of this dichotomy or this kind of example of what happens. What happens when all these weapons, all the weapons that exist, they are missing bullets or they do not fire? Or you do not fire, you do not use them. So what if I have a warehouse of weapons, but I never use them or I never activate it? What good is it? What good does it do me? Right? So if you have something that you're not using, I want you to keep this thought, because I'm going to be asking you over and over throughout this sermon. If you have something of great value, but you do not use it, what value or what purpose does it serve you? If I have an amazing vehicle, right? Or if I have something that is just great, but I never use it, what good does it do me? Second metaphor I want you to bring your attention to is heavy machinery, like construction equipment. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, "As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So when you drive by and you see a highway that's being built or some kind of an exit that they're doing, and or just you go to any construction site, you'll see heavy machinery, those yellow trucks, the dump trucks and backhoes and all these machinery that they use, heavy machinery that you can't do it by physical labor, just by using a shovel. They have heavy machinery to do that. So if you started a construction project or you said, we need to have a house for ourselves, and a friend says, I have some machinery, heavy machinery that I can put on a trailer and bring it. It'll be a lot easier to do foundation, before you lay the foundation. Grading, thank you. When you do grading, and that would be good for you. I said, great, thank you so much. You're a true friend. Bring it over. He brings it over, and it just stays there, and I never use it. And because all I know is how to use a shovel. And I'll just keep on digging because it's something that I'm used to. It's something that I know. I don't know how to operate that machinery. I don't have the key to turn on that machinery. So that machinery never gets used. When we talk about food, so John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus also uses this metaphor of food, of thirsting, of drinking, of being replenished, of having a life within us. And when we look at this aspect of food, there's also on day-to-day life, we go to our favorite stores, grocery stores, and we buy, we order. Nowadays, it's great with Instacart and other features, apps, that you can order and it'll deliver it to you. Even fast foods are doing it right to the door. Go online, order it, you have it delivered to you. And those are great. But we come to church for something different. We don't come to church to be fed. We don't come to church to learn how to operate construction equipment. We don't come to church to have weapons and learn how to shoot them. We don't come to church. Yet the Word of God has these metaphors, examples, or symbolic language for us to understand that we engage, that we come to face to face with all these areas of life on a spiritual level. We require protection from evil forces. We require protection from demons. We require protection from schemes, from any weapons that are being formed. Someone mentioned that recently we had a retreat, a camp for children, and they came across with some things that children are dealing already from being extensively involved in video games and other things where they see people coming to them in dreams, they have nightmares and all this. They're kids. They're preteens. Yet they already are being exposed to this dark side, to these demonic areas, portals that are opened in their life, and demons are tormenting them. And we need protection. We need this weaponry. So I can yell, I can raise my voice, I can close my eyes and say, no, 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 no. But does that help that person? Does it help you to operate on what logically you can do that? You can help them with. We talk about construction, and the Word of God says that we are ourselves are a living stone that are being placed into the kingdom of God, into the bride that's being prepared when Jesus Christ is coming again. And we're going to have millennial. We're going to have eternity that we are going into. And God desires for us to start understanding the kingdom, start understanding these principles on which the kingdom is built, because you and I are building something. You and I, even being in church, worshiping the Lord, we are part of this construction, of this building phase that takes place. And certainly every day we need spiritual food from the Lord. We need comfort, we need His presence, we need His guidance, we need to be victorious. So using these metaphors that are used in terms of weapons, heavy machinery, or a form of food, if you think of all this, think of it as just a ways of meeting my needs. Ways of meeting my needs. There are needs that need to be met in my life. There are things that need to be accomplished. I need to accomplish certain things. I need to have my needs met. And what the Word of God calls us is that it says, unless the Lord builds it, in vain we are building it. So there has to be a relationship, a dependency between heaven and me. There has to be a relationship between Holy Spirit and me. There has to be a relationship between Jesus Christ and me. I have to engage. And if the language He speaks is faith, I have to learn to understand this language on practical level and practical steps that I can fulfill or that I can do. Because Matthew says in chapter 15, verse 30, it says, and great crowds came to Him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at His feet, and He healed them. I feel like today, nowadays, there's a lot more of this need than it was at the time of Jesus. A lot more people are lame. A lot more people are sick. A lot more people are burdened and heavy burdened. And when church puts on their shoes of readiness, and the belt of righteousness, or when we're ready and we have this helmet of salvation and we're ready to go. We can't just do it on board meetings. We cannot operate just on meetings and agendas and fulfilling and putting a check mark. Yes, it's done. Okay, next thing, next thing. If we do not engage on faith, if we don't engage with heaven, what's going to happen is we're going to look like the example I told you. The heavy machinery is accessible. Heavy machinery is available. Heavy weapons are available. But when they are not utilized, we end up being malnutrition. We end up being neglected. And we end up living a life of poverty. And the reason why we do that, because we did not learn, we were not mentored, we didn't understand how to engage on faith. So I want to ask you a few questions. Is having access to something and not using it the same thing as not having it? Think about it. Something that you're dreaming of, something that's on your agenda, you want to get it. If it's a vehicle, if it's a destination, if it's an experience, if it's property, you're really hoping for it, and you're dreaming about it, and you know it's going to take effort to get it done. And if you get it, and you never use it, is it the same thing as not having it? Similar question. Is it helpful to have access to help and never use it? So let's say someone moved to this area and we as a leadership of the church say, we can help. We can organize youth. We can organize our missionary department and unload you and come and help you. So when you move into this area, just give us a call and then we'll have a team of volunteers come and unload you and help you. Great. Thank you so much. You guys are the best. You see them in church next Sunday and you ask them, how's everything? Great. Exhausted. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. So exhausted. What happened? I had to unload a whole truck of the stuff we just moved. Why didn't you call? We had a whole team that could have came and helped. I know you said that, but I just did it myself. So the fact that we told them that we can help and unload them, is it helpful for them to know that there is help available, but they never use it? But they never use it. And finally, does it make sense to be in need when you have access to meet that need. If your parents set up a fund and they said, whenever you're in trouble, whenever you need, whenever you're running low, here's the debit card, here's the code, here you go. Great. Oh, awesome. Love it. You take this card and you put it in some kind of a drawer or your safe, knowing that it's there. And you live on poverty. You're deprived. You're neglected. And you're just a lifestyle of that. Is it helpful for you to know that your parents said, we want to bless you and give you this card if you never use it? 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God, right? Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is his Son. So you might think to yourself, Alex, you titled this sermon Igniting the Word with Faith, but you're not really talking a lot about the Word or how to ignite it. Can I just tell you, this was a really big introduction? But I really want to drive the point as to this message. How many of you know what the Bible is? You see? Okay. 60% of you. The rest of you, we can give you a Bible. You see, what I realized, and I see this in the life of believers, that when I read the Word of God, when I engage with the Word of God, I can engage it on the level of a book, of a story, of a testimony, and I can leave it there, right? If I can have two areas, on this side, I read Bible, I have a Bible plan, I have check boxes, and I read through the Bible. I might read more than once through the Bible. I have verses and stories, New Testament, that I read. And all it is, it's there. It's in my life. It's present. But it's not executed. It is not operating. I never turn on the key. I never use it. I never plug it in. I never utilize what is available. It's just there. I know it's there. I know it's the Word of God. It's there. On this side, when I read the Word of God, I turn it on. I engage it. If it's a weapon, I turn it on. I use it. If it's a help that's needed, I ask for it and I take it. So the difference is me believing the Word. I cannot tell you, guys, let's believe right now as we walk outside, purple elephants will be falling from the sky. Let's believe that. Ready? We can conquer that. Let's do it on a count of three. We can believe that. We cannot just believe nonsense. But what we can't believe is a Word of God. Word of God is true. And it's a Word of God. It's a living Word. So if I read the Word of God and it says, Blessed are those who give to the poor. I'm on this side. Interesting concept, good message. Yeah, Jesus was nice. doesn't do nothing. On this side, it says, blessed are those who give to the poor, for they will be rewarded. And I ignite my faith, and I believe that what the Word of God said is true. Ah, it's true. I believe it. And what happens, my life changes and action changes. Here, I do not give to the poor. It's just a story. Here, I believed the Word of God, that God said, if I give to the poor, I will be rewarded. I will not be left not taken care of. And what changes is I start giving to the poor. I start sending parcels. I start giving money. I start donating. Why? Because I believed what the Word of God said. I engaged with the Word of God on faith. So in order for us to come to Jesus Christ, we have to believe. I'm going to give you some practical application, and we're going to go to prayer. There are plenty of promises of God that are in the Bible. James 1, for example, I'll just read this. This is not on slide, but I'll just read it to you. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So on this side, God is God of wisdom. God gives wisdom. That's great to know. Heavy machinery, lots of power, great insight. Hallelujah. Never applies to my life. I never use it. It doesn't apply to me. Over here, I read it. I sit in my room and I read. Those who lack wisdom, ask and will be given to you. I lack wisdom. I need wisdom. Ask and it will be given to you. And I engage my faith. I believe the Word of God. I believe. What happens? It starts igniting. It starts operating. And since Jesus speaks faith, now based on my faith, there's a deposit of wisdom that comes into my life. I can give you stories after stories, stories after stories. I'm sitting and I'm counseling with people. And I ask them, how's this area in your life? Tell me a little bit about this. And I see this look as if like a deer in a headlight look. So I pause a little bit. And they just brush it off. They're like, oh, that's weird. I was thinking about it this morning. I hope we had a chance to talk about it. This wisdom, I don't know. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you as a practicality. This wisdom does not come from school. It does not come from obtaining a degree. It comes from faith that in the morning I pray, God, I'm going to be ministering to this child. This is your child. I need wisdom that comes from above. And there's a contract. The Word of God is a contract. It says, if you, those who ask, it shall be given to them. I'm asking you, give me wisdom because I believe the Word and I believe what you have said. And all of a sudden, I have a library of power and resources that I can learn to ignite, that I can learn to walk, that I can learn to run and exercise. What I don't want to do is live life without faith. I don't want to read the Word just for the Word. I want to read the Word and believe it. When the God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, I ignite my faith and I say, Lord Jesus, I believe this is true. I am not alone. Never, never, ever I will be alone. I believe it. I start igniting the faith. So the difference is between just reading the Word, just having a Bible plan, is exercising faith that what is written is true and what is written is true for me. So those five tips that I want to leave for you is, it takes knowing the Word. If I don't know the Word, then I can't exercise my faith. of what it says there. I have to believe the word. So did you know that there are many people who know the word? And even during persecution in communism time, the KGB agents, they knew the word better than some believers. They knew the word. They know where and what was written. It did nothing for them. Nothing. Why? Because what was missing is the ignition, the faith component, that this is the word of God and I believe it and I can build on it and this is true. When I believe it, then I start acting. And what the word of God tells me to do, I do it. Why? Because I believe it. I believe every word of the word of God. Then it changes. It takes me from one destination to another. If I'm here, the word of God says this, I believe it, I'm going here, I'm moving, and I'm doing, and what happens is my life starts changing. Collecting evidence, I strongly encourage you, keep a journal. Keep a journal each time when you pray, and you say, God, I lost the card, can you help me please find the card? And all of a sudden, within the next few minutes or even that day, you find the card, in a place where you would have never looked. It's an evidence of your faith giving birth. Collect those moments. Memorize them or have a journal. Write down all the things that God did for you. And what happens is your faith will be increased. This is your baby steps. God did this. God did this. I prayed. God did this. God did this. God did this. And now I start exercising. I exercise the faith. All of a sudden, this new area in my life, I operate on faith and not what makes sense. Because a lot of times what God will ask you to do or He demands, it does not make sense. It does not make sense. But it makes sense in heaven. It makes sense to the Holy Spirit. It makes sense to God. It makes sense to sell it all and give it to the poor. To the logical mind, it doesn't make sense. To serve, to give, it makes a lot of sense. So would you stand with me, please? I did my part of stirring your thinking about faith. There's a promise of God that says, I want to practice with you. So I'm going to read a verse to you. And what I'm hoping for is that you don't only hear it, but you believe it. That is true. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. We're going to pray. We started this new process of just having an altar time of those who want to come and just spend a little bit of time with the Lord. If the Spirit of God was speaking to you and saying certain things through this message, that as you engage the Word of God, as you engage the Bible, that maybe what has been missing in you is this faith component that you never thought that is necessary for it to come alive. Or maybe you're saying, God, I don't want to live a life of not having faith. I want to live a life full of faith. Teach me to walk. Teach me to believe what you say in the word is true and acting on it and doing what is written there and asking you, based on your word and believing that you will give it to me because I'm asking you. The altar is open. If you come, we'll serve, we'll minister to you as worship group prays and plays and sings. We want to minister to you and ask, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We come to you, Jesus, and I am asking you, Lord Jesus, I don't even know how to explain this well. This component of faith is so mysterious, but it's so powerful, Jesus. Many people were healed brokenhearted were restored because they have believed. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. So many times, Jesus, when you were alive here, you were impressed by those who believe. And you said, daughter, because of your faith, be so. Be healed. Be restored because you believed. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you. We come to you, Jesus. As we are, we come to you, and I'm asking you, I'm interceding, Jesus. When I read the Word of God, help me to engage with the Word. Help me to engage with faith. Father, help me to have this practical aspect of it, that what you say is true. It's not just a story. It's not a theory. It's true. I believe it. Father, increase our faith. Increase our faith, Lord Jesus, in the Word. As we read the Word, as we engage with the Word, Father, help us to believe that it would open new portals, that we open new doors. It changes hearts. Faith changes hearts. Father, you call us not to be double-minded, not to waver, not to doubt. You said that we can engage heaven. We can walk, Jesus. We can come up to you, Lord Jesus, and have new doors, new portals open, Jesus. More than we can imagine. More than we can imagine. Father, help us not to have a dull Christianity where we do a checklist of practices, but help us to engage on our spirit, because we are more spiritual than we are physical, Jesus. Father, help us to engage in spirit. Help us to engage in faith. Father, help me to say, I believe. I believe this word verse is for me. I believe this is true. I believe you, Jesus. I believe you, Jesus. I believe you. Hallelujah. Father, supernatural healing is not a story. Father, I pray right now for all who are sick, that we learn to engage by faith, because you said in your word, it is written, by your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. It is written, by your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. You said, blessed is the man who trusts in me. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you that you open these doors. Open these new doors of blessing. Open these new doors, Jesus, of business opportunities that are based on faith. As your children start engaging with you, and they start praying and saying, God, bless my mind and give me a new business opportunity that I can serve my family. And they believe. Father, open new doors in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Any obstacles, Jesus, any obstacles that are in their life, may they be removed by heavy machinery. May they be removed by the power of the Spirit, by faith, in Jesus' name. I believe that you break bondages. Your word says, set the captives free. It is a commandment. I believe your word. You said, set the captives free. So I proclaim, be free in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. Be filled in Jesus' name. Have a life of abundance in Jesus' name. Believe in Jesus. My son, my daughter, believe. Believe in me. I am with you.
I am with you all the days of your life. I am with you. I am not distant. I'm not angry. Hallelujah. God says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Do you believe it? The Word of God says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Jesus says, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you do this mountain, be taken up and thrown into a sea. What is your obstacle? What is your challenge? You cannot reason yourself out of it. You cannot get enough counsel to get yourself out of it. Only by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God operates on faith. Do you believe that God is on your side? Do you believe that He has power to meet your need? Stay firm on the Word of God. Position yourself on the Word of God and say, almost like a contract, Jesus, you said. Jesus, in your Word it says. Jesus, Matthew says. Jesus, in the book of John, it says. In the book of Ephesians, it says. In the epistle of Ephesians, it says. It says. And if it says, I believe. I believe that you give strength to those who are weary. I believe that you renew those who are weak. I believe that you heal those who are sick. You restore the brokenhearted. By faith, by faith, by faith. Jesus. Tell Him to teach you to believe. Teach Him, tell Him to teach you to believe. Because without faith, that's not even Christianity. Ask Him to teach you to believe the Word. To believe the Word and act on it. Hallelujah. 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 Open your portals, Jesus. Open those portals. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let it flow, Father. Saturate your children with your presence by faith. By faith, Jesus. Help us to engage your Word by faith. We believe in you, Jesus. We believe that you are restorer. Restore those who are burdened. Restore those who are weak, Jesus. Lord, you said joy comes in the morning. And you said you are the morning star. That means if you are with me, joy comes. Every time you're with me, Jesus, and you live with me. I believe it says joy comes in the morning. Today is the morning, Jesus. Today is a new day, and your Word says joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. And I believe it. I believe it, Jesus. The joy is accessible for me today. Joy is available for me. I believe it, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to do what He does best. My job is to speak the word. His job is to be faithful and apply the word in your spirit and bring your faith, bring fruits of faith. Because faith is having assurance in what we do not see. I don't see my spouse, but I already have faith that God gave it to me. Assurance in what I don't see.